Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
Notice, notice, this midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Another minisode here at the Patreon.
Yeah.
What do you got today for us, boys? What's happening out in the world that we should be discussing?
I've got a neat listener story all the way from Belize. Is that fun?
Do okay. It. I yeah, like it. Right.
This is from about a week ago from Six Sad Songs on our very own Chilluminati Pod subreddit. Pretty good one. This one's called The White Lady. Oh. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I'm definitely a Jesse, except it's spelled with a Y, except when it comes to Bigfoot.
I'll take it.
Then I'm a Mathis, which is spelled with a U. Feel free to read Close. On the podcast. Anyway, on to the story. Well,
I don't know if you can call yourself a Jesse. If even if on one thing you're a Mathis. If you're on one thing, you're like, Bigfoot's actually real, though. What doesn't that imply? So much more other stuff could
it
be real.
It implies that people have layers.
People have their limits.
We
you know
are
what I mean?
Many. We Some are things, multitude.
Maybe give me the Shrek in every talk. Way he agrees with Jesse, except that maybe there's an ape man out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. We can work with that.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, on to the story. Well, I live in Belize, and at age 16, I had joined the volunteer military. That's our equivalent to the American National Guard or the British Territorial Army. I've spent summers as a high school student at my uncle's farm doing log wood cutting and hunting. So although I lived in the city, I was not ignorant about the jungle before joining the military. So I didn't know all the survival tricks as the guys that grew up in the villages, but I was certainly better than the city boys when it came to the jungle. Anyway, one year where we were in Mountain Pine Ridge, which is a remote location, we were in a national park, which is restricted access for civilians, a central location in the country, mountains where hills are covered in grassland, the tops of the hill in pine forest, and the valleys are dense jungle. This dense vegetation creates a lot of fog from the precipitation released in the nights and early morning that settles in the valleys. The air is cold by our standards at 50 degrees Fahrenheit, whatever the wind chill factor was. Now, that's not cold for a lot of people, but considering here a normal day is 80 plus Fahrenheit, it's cold for us. I'd say as somebody from L.A., that's cold for us, too, because our houses have no insulation. We had a battalion spread out comprised of three companies. Ours was orientated to the south in a harbor area. Think tactical camping, no lights or fires, but tents, a 24/7 guard duty and a latrine. We would leave during the day to train for several hours and return to sleep. About 3 days in, guys started complaining about not being able to breathe properly at night or wake up in a panic. Because there would be a white lady, white clothes and complexion like porcelain white, hovering horizontally above them when they would sleep. Some said they dreamed about her and would wake up short of breath. Others would say they wake up in the middle of the night seeing her for a split second before she would disappear. The idea was she was stealing your breath while you slept. First it was one person that saw her, then it became seven. Then 30 people had experiences with this white lady. Now, some people would say, it's because you fall asleep with your hands on your chest and the added weight would impair your breathing at night. Others believe she was a version of La Llorona because no woman ever claimed to see or dream of her, so she was feeding off the energy of men. Personally, to me, it sounded like a banshee, but people don't know Irish folklore, so maybe not that. I don't think ghosts just cross cultural boundaries like that. But our version of La Llorona does lure men into the river to drown them, and she is often described as a woman in white with big, saggy breasts. So perhaps it was that. Now, we could say maybe it's the poor quality food, the reduced sleep, and the physical exhaustion causing men to hallucinate or conjure these thoughts.
No.
But on our second week of training, we move off that hill and did operations on the move, spending each night in a different location. We walked around a lot more and slept in hard routine. Think tactical camping plus digging shell scrapes or range graves if you're American. So we had more physical work. We ate our version of MREs instead of food from a field kitchen. So inferior quality nutrition. But no one complained about seeing the white lady after we came off that hill. Now, we can certainly chalk it up to being superstitious, and our cultural identity certainly is. But we're also a very macho culture in the military and a third world military, so even more so. So lots of toxic masculinity. So admitting you're seeing ghosts and displaying fear in that manner is quite taboo. It'll get you made fun of the way only blue-collar workers and military personnel understand, but knowing that we still had lots of guys talking about it. So whatever it is or was, it's lore now, and to this day, when we go up to those hills or the next generations, I'm retired now, guys are still claiming to have interactions with the white lady at night in those specific hills. So there you go. Thanks for reading this. Shout out from Belize. And there you go. A cursed ground where military exercises were being performed. 30 men out there in the military claiming this. And they're right. Like, military is merciless in the same way that, you know, school is, where, or jail, where if you show cracks, that's what you are to them. And, you know, that's interesting that even in that context, people were choosing to report a white lady ghost. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty neat little story, and it's fun that it came all the way from Belize. So shout outs back to Belize.
Bazinga. Did you guys know there was a movie about Law Your Own?
Oh, yeah, really?
Where? Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Do you know what year that movie came out, Mathis?
Yeah, I heard.
Do you know what year? What do you think?
2019.
Yeah. The movie has been out for 7 years now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Time. What is time? Who knows? Jesse, what do you have for us?
Well, speaking of time and space, let's get a little weird. So if you listen to the show, I'm sure, you know, anyone listening right now who is paid to be here, thank you, by the way. You're probably aware of the theory that, you know, the many worlds theory. Basically, any choice you make leads to two or more outcomes, and that there's another version of you out there somewhere who made a different choice. That's living another life, right? Like, yep. Took a different job, married someone else, moved across the country, whatever the case may be. Hell, even today, got a different type of coffee, you know? Well, according to Oxford physicist Vlatko Vedral, in Popular Mechanics, said that humans don't magically create reality by observing it, which is a thing that people say online a lot. a belief that he says spread through online culture, this sort of manifestation culture, this idea of like, taking quantum physics, quantum dynamics, and using that to justify the idea of life.
Using your lack of understanding of it as a justification. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He says that in reality, changes that happen on this sort of quantum level are happening every single second, whether you notice them or not. It's not a like, oh, I can change reality because I see this thing. It's like, no, everything is changing. So, he takes this idea of many worlds, and he says that for decades, scientists have known that particles can appear to exist in multiple states, right? We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, like, all right, ignore this whole create your own reality thing. Consciousness isn't as special as we want to believe in this situation. That does not matter. Reality doesn't change simply because a human's looking at it. Instead, interactions can happen like a photon hitting sunglasses, dust colliding in space, particle bouncing off another particle to alter reality without a human even being involved. He says that the universe doesn't wait for us to notice anything. And then these things, these possible alternate realities just would exist, right? The interaction itself is what matters. He uses the sunglasses as an example, saying that like one possible outcome is the photon passes through the lens, reaches your eye, and another, the sunglasses completely block it. So basically, there's one version where you got a photon in the eye, and there's one version where that did not happen, and those both exist simultaneously in reality.
Yeah.
And that's two, from that point, two slightly different versions. But the mind trippy thing about many worlds is it isn't just like, well, there's one version of you that went to college and one version of you that didn't. It would be like, there's one version of you that went to college, and then on the minute you got in the car, one version of you got in the car, one version of you stubbed your toe, one version of you stubbed the other toe. There's like infinite versions. It isn't like, it's like every second, whether you chose to breathe in right there or wait a second.
Everything. What you're saying
is the movie is the one. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is the correct
literally
interpretation.
Anything that can happen is happening. Mm-hmm. Anything.
So it's fascinating because the way that it's basically, it all comes back to the double slit experiment, right? With the idea of when a photon is observed, it collapses from a wave function to a particle and you see where it lands.
Yeah. But
until it is measured, it is a wave function, meaning it's like taking every possible path around the globe or whatever to arrive at that point as well as that. And what the math says is that when you observe, and it collapses, the math doesn't say all those other points now don't exist. The math raw still says they exist. They're just not the ones that we are observing. But there's two schools of thought, from my understanding. It's Copenhagen's shut up and calculate. And the point is it collapses. It doesn't matter what that means. It doesn't, like, just look at the numbers and take it for what it is and don't worry about any of that. Just shut up and calculate. Because there's no possible way for us to even know anyway. And the other people, which is like the many worlds theory of like, no, the math raw says by like math, they have to be landing in all these other places. We just, for some reason, when it collapses into a singular state. And it's the state where our observation or the observation device interacted with that particular one. And we live in that one where there's like, one where the scientist is wearing a green shirt instead of a red shirt, you know,
What's interesting is it continues the idea that the collapse itself, there could potentially be quadrillion collapses, but each version of us has our own, oh, it ended up here. But in reality, it could have ended up in any one of those.
Yeah.
But that's just the one we see because it ended here with our reality, but that could be happening in every single other reality as well.
Yeah, like the most minor thing. Like it's mind bending to try and get your head around.
It's literally every second is the way they talk about it, but theoretically, it's every nanosecond. Any fraction, and then compound that with the various versions. Okay, so it's like there are three of us, right? Version A, Jesse. Meets version, like version A, Jesse splits into AB. Version B is in a timeline with version F, Mathis, and version Alpha 6, Alex.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's infinite possibilities of this podcast could be happening in a different thing, except I'm Alex and Alex is me. You know what I mean? Like, there is, there's crazy ways that it is beyond human thought, really.
It also makes me think of like quantum computers and how the quote of like one quantum computer with 300 qubits, when we have that, we'll be able to do more calculations simultaneously than there are atoms in our current universe, which should not be possible unless the math is using quantum possibilities, which means they may be doing math in multiple separate realities simultaneously. Like,
how is that possible? How is that possible to like track if we don't even know that other universes exist?
But that's the way quantum computers work. You don't get to look. You can't look because
there's
the minute you observe,
and inside is stuff, we don't know what.
It's qubits, and they sit in a cloud of quantum probability, and they are simultaneously multiple things at once, ones and zeros, right? And the minute you have 300 qubits, because they can be both things at once, the number of calculations they can do it simultaneously on a computer like that will outnumber the number of atoms in our universe. And one of the, I forget which physics expert, I think it's a professor, says that like the only way that he can see that being real is if it's calculating in other branch universes simultaneously as well. It's one of the reasons you can't observe what's under the hood. You can't look
about it is it's all like, it's like when a math teacher said, give me the answer, but show your work. This thing will only give answers. And it's like, yeah, I can't really show you because I did that outside of space and time. And you're like, brother, what?
Dude, it's fucking crazy.
I'm starting to feel like it's just, it's like intangible. Like, I'm starting to feel like we've reached the edge of reality, like in a way that is hard to like define.
Then you have to, redefine what reality is.
Yeah.
Even today, an interview came out with Neil deGrasse Tyson, anti-alien man himself, who wrote a book about like if aliens showed up. And it's pretty jokey about like, oh, they don't know what a handshake is. They could see it. Maybe they want to sniff your butt. You know, very like kind of taking the shit out of it. But in the message, he's like, they'll understand math. He's talking about having the Pythagorean theorem on hand and knowing in the periodic table, because if these things are real and we can't communicate with them, they will hopefully have an understanding of the universal language of mathematics. And like, it's weird to see Neil deGrasse Tyson in an episode today on the 13th of May dropping, where he's like on MS Now, I think it is, where he's being interviewed, where he's like, he talks about, which is my topic today too, war.gov/UFOs. He talks about how he's going through that. And the stuff he's interested in is all the letters from the 50s and the 60s of just their plain observations, handwritten as it were, and seeing that. And he says, comparing it to the stuff we're seeing in congressional hearings over the past few years and how it's verbatim, almost the same thing. And he's like, so if something's out there, we need to be ready. And it's weird from him to be the one saying it when he is so the anti-UFO guy for so long. I'm not mad at him for it.
When you remove the question of whether it's aliens or not, right, it becomes a much more interesting topic, because I think it gets agreed, occluded by the alien question.
100%.
Like, I don't think anybody's questioning that we're seeing something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think anybody's questioning all these different people in the government saying that there's something out there. But the idea that that is somehow part and parcel with it being, the Martians from Mars Attacks or something like that, is the part where you lose, where you get lost.
People want there to be like a ship on the ground gray from Zeta Reticuli to happen, when it seems like when we're talking about all this other stuff too, it might be just weirder than we can conceptualize.
That would be the most believable thing that could possibly happen.
That's honestly how I feel.
Yeah. If they told us, all right, look, this is really hard to explain, but they're not from a distant world. They're from something even more messed up and weird. I genuinely believe people would take that easier. Does that make any sense? Like, I feel like people are so Marvel headed, you know, like, Marvel, we're like, yeah, multiverse, sure, whatever, that they would be somehow easier to swallow. That they are like us from the future, or us, like something is very, Jesse, there's something very like human about the idea that it isn't aliens, but it's us. And we're just so cool in the future, it's a different version of us from a different reality. If it's us coded, suddenly it's a little more acceptable.
It could be anything. It could be like fucking plasmoforms. Like we don't know. It could be anything. It could be something that makes us hallucinate. Like it could be anything. You know, that's what I mean?
Another interesting thing too is like, you know, there's just this recent kind of like a couple studies, I guess, this idea of plasma exhibiting conscious behavior, not to say it's conscious, but you know,
yeah, we were talking about like, the plasmoids. Yeah. We were talking about that.
Plasma ends up being conscious. That would mean the sun is conscious because the sun is plasma.
Which would go back to the original beliefs of
you
want to
blow
ancient
your
man.
Fucking mind. That's
sun
the crazy
is,
part.
Was the God. Like, and let's be real. Out of all the things that are tangible in the universe that we should worship in some way, a sun's pretty damn close.
It's pretty
that
good.
Thing
right.
gives it gives life.
It does take care of us.
It our entire existence.
It's crazy.
And it gives warmth too. But also, if you mess around with it too much,
it burns you.
It burns
your wings fall off.
That's pretty God coded. Just saying.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
I really love the idea of the sun being conscious in some sort of totally inhuman way. Some sort of way that we just don't understand, because it's like the way
like
that mushrooms
Kellogg's
are conscious.
Or whatever. Like the sun is just the Raisin Bran sun.
Yeah,
he's just really happy to be there.
Yeah, with the Mandela effect about it having sunglasses on. We could ask it.
Yeah, we could. But like, to me, that would make the most sense. If they were like, it's weirder than we can really understand, it's something we don't really get, then that makes sense. Like, it just makes more sense that way.
Yeah.
And
like, what's crazy, dude, in a time where more and more people are just looking for something, to have something from the outside, I it's so crazy, but I almost feel like, for as messed up as the world is right now, it is so primed to just get some, like, all right, here's the truth. You know what I mean? Like, I right. feel like people would be, oh, that explains every, like, people would be thrilled. I know people are worried that, like, you know, there'll be religious backlash. I'm telling you, I think people are so excited to just have something not be, I don't know, like, have some answer in the universe, some sort of something.
Why would it? Like, why would it fit our conspiracy, our specific modern conspiracy theories, when so many other theories have been out there that are equally as misinformed or uninformed as this one?
Yeah.
But like, all these other theories always kind of come back around, like, to the same, like, conclusion for the most part. That's the other thing too, is like you say that the NASA and the church recently, like in the past like month or so, have reconvened on what they would do if disclosure of other life happened. NASA was reconvening like last week or something, like they're rebringing out like what they would do. And Pope Leo has been talking about like just addendums into like what they would do with like extraterrestrial. And right here. He asked like, would any extraterrestrial intelligence be children of God? And he of course said, yes, of course they would, like that kind of stuff. And it's like all on the periphery. And it's all happening when the world is at its weirdest right now, too. Like, on top of the world being a shitty place right now, it's also at, like, prime weirdness levels.
I do have to think, also, there's like, a little bit of, we see people talking about this, so we need to have answers for our clergy or our staff or whatever. Might be. Because while it does make sense to think, like, oh, they're talking about it now, so it must be of concern, I think it's also just, like, okay. People are talking, the government's releasing stuff. You know, you're going to get people in church being like, are aliens, do they love Jesus? So you got to have an answer, and it's got to be an answer from the top. So, like, let's just get this done.
Yeah, that makes sense to a degree, like, for sure. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird time with all this stuff. It's been weird to watch this thing evolve over 8 years and, like, how different of a world the UFO world has kind of just become in that short time.
I feel like it's going to get, like, in the time that we've done the show, it's now been almost 10 years. We're getting there. We're like on year eight or nine.
We're in year eight right now.
It's changed so much. Like, it's gone from basically just being Mulder to being like this so much more like crystal-y, sort of like spiritual, sort of like mix of the two. I can't even imagine where it's going to be in 10 more years unless they just straight up exist and show up and come out. But I'm just interested to see where everybody's mind goes, because we keep expanding our minds and context becomes less and less, like, I don't know, culturally what we can are capable of conceiving aliens to be gets more and more complex thanks to the Marvel movies and
it really is
multiverses.
Isn't it weird? Like, I'm not saying this is what it is either. And like, this all kind of, we don't have to talk about, you know, gov.aliens or whatever, war.gov or whatever, because what they did with that, by the way, is just what they did with the Epstein files. They just fucking offloaded like 200 documents.
Yeah. We'll see in 5 months, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, it's just, what was I going to say before that? It's gone. Shit. No idea. There's my ADHD brain. I got sidetracked by something.
Sorry, my man. I know that feeling. It's
fucking immediately fucking gone. But it's just, with this whole shit, it just feels to me that the answer is unknowable in a way that they don't know how to handle. They don't know how to like announce. And I don't think we're going to see a fucking alien land on the front lawn. Like, I just don't think that'll ever happen.
We'll see, you know, we'll see what the fuck, but I look, my mind is open. My arms are open. I'm ready. I'm terrified. Hit me.
Are you terrified?
I mean, the notion of it is terrifying. Let's put it that way. In the way that, like, the narrator of a Lovecraftian tale is terrified, I'm terrified.
I guess I take comfort. Like, if they are real and they wanted us gone, I feel like they could just have got rid of us. It's not hard.
It's not that. It's just a absolute shift in what we think that I'm afraid of. I don't think everybody can handle
it. You're describing, like, ontological shock.
Yeah, I'm scared of... I think I can handle it personally. I think there's people out there that can't.
I agree. I think, but I agree with you in, like, I think in a weird way, this is what I was going to say. The Marvel movies and all that stuff are in a weird way that 50s paper. Do you remember that paper from like the 50s or 60s? I think it's in the, from the CIA, where they're talking about how, like, if they were real, how would be the easiest way to like get the public to accept them? And it's like, put it in the entertainment, slowly eke out the idea of what these things are. And it's very bizarre to see like multiverse become more popular in pop culture while also gaining ground and roots in like scientific exploration.
The aliens are pop culture kind of, or the aliens are multiverse vibes is like high.
That's exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
It's got that wooey, other dimensional, other world, interstellar like vibe to it that I don't think we can understand. And I'm excited for Disclosure Day.
Yeah.
Whatever that movie's going to be like.
I'm so excited for that, actually.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
That's I actually saw a really fun, they have like a poster now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's there's in LA, there's a giant billboard, but it's Disclosure Day, but then it has an eye in the middle, which I guess is like a theme of this movie. But then in the background is a blur, but the further away you are from the blur, it looks like a UFO. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's a fun poster. Okay.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very excited.
Well, that's it. You guys go check out fucking war.gov/UFOs if you want. There's a million documents in there. A lot of them are just like public release.
We'll have Santel on soon to yell about aliens again.
Yeah, I'm sure. He texted me like a week ago and said 60 to 90 days. And I'm like, for what?
He's
like,
he knows.
Yeah, he's Santel's like Disclosure aware. Apparently because of what somebody said. And I'm like, all right, we'll see. I don't know, man. We'll see. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all for your support here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode. We appreciate you. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.